war has started. And we are hopelessly outgunned.
We know now that we never had a chance against the superheroes of the world.
This is nothing we were ever trained for.
They sprang from the comic books, the Avengers, Batman, Joker, and became everything.
Our operation is small, but there's a lot of potential for aggressive expansion. So which of you fine gentlemen would like to join our team?
The comic books have won, of course. We know that now. But there was a time when comics were called the 10-cent plague against America's youth, stealing their souls.
Your soul is mine.
In 1954, the comic books were on the defensive, and Dr. Frederick Wortham was the Avenger, the Dark Knight, all rolled into one, testifying before Congress.
Are there any bad effects of comic books? I may say here that on this subject there is practically no controversy. Anybody who has studied them and seen them knows that some of them have bad effects.
Listen to that voice. That's psychiatrist and director of the Lafargue Clinic in New York City, Dr. Frederick Wortham, author of Seduction of the Innocent. He made a mainstream case, and a powerful one, that comics were a hazard to society. Paul Levitz, former president and publisher of DC Comics, of course, the home of Batman, the best favor anybody did to the comics industry, making comics sinister and therefore cool?
I don't think any creative person wants to see their work being burned in giant vats, so I won't count as a favor.
Paul Levitz, former president and publisher of DC Comics, is referring to the very, very murky early history of the comic book industry and its assault by psychiatrists and other scientists who attempted to portray it as a battle over the youth and morality of America's youth. Carol Tilley joins us now. She's assistant professor at the University of Illinois Graduate School of Library and Information Science, and she believes that Wortham's case back then in the 50s was junk science completely, a classic fabrication. Carol, welcome.
Thanks, John. It's great to be here.
What have you discovered about Dr. Wortham?
Well, I had a chance starting a couple of years ago to spend several weeks using his papers at the Library of Congress. And what I found is that there are a lot of instances, it seems, where he might have manipulated or overstated the evidence he had from his young patients in terms of the effects comics had on them.
And what kind of patients are we talking about here? He worked at the Quaker Emergency Service Readjustment Center, a mental hygiene clinic at Bellevue Hospital here in New York. I already mentioned the Lafargue Clinic. What were these so-called experiments?
So they weren't experiments so much as simply kids who were coming in from the neighborhoods, often who had committed petty crimes or been truant from school or had some often minor psychological maladjustments. Maybe they were daydreaming. Oftentimes these kids were from very rough circumstances, had been abused sexually or physically, had learning disabilities. And these were often the kids that Dr. Wortham was basing some of his ideas about comics on.
Real troubled kids, but basically all Wortham did was ask them if they looked at comic books, as though if someone had asked me in the 1970s in my troubled adolescence, if someone asked me if I turn on a television, aha, now we know what caused all of your problems. Hold on just a second, Carol Tilley. So Paul Levitz, what did this do to start the brand of comics, this sense of an assault on morality?
It basically took the creative people and the publishers into hiding from their own creativity. The material was bowdlerized, made as harmless as possible. The publishers started a self-censorship organization called the Comics Code to make sure that every one of our comics will be safe for your children to read, which meant that often there wasn't allowed an idea in it. And it cowed the creativity of the field for about 15 or 20 years.
A precursor or parallel to the Hollywood blacklist of the McCarthy era?
They're all parallel. There's a long history in America of Comstock panics. It's no different to some extent than what's going on with video games now, where the shootings are being blamed on kids looking at the video games. And your child, my child, spent plenty of time on video games, didn't end up shooting anybody.
Although, Paul Levitz, comic books cost a dime, the video game industry is a $1 billion industry. The whole business model of pop culture and entertainment has changed since those early days of DC.
In the days we're talking about, comic books had been an enormously pervasive part of children's growing up. There were millions and millions more sold than to young kids. It was a uniform behavior that you started reading comics as one of your first forms of entertainment.
So comic books are more a baseline than they are an anomaly, Carol Tilley. And as a researcher, did you happen to look into Wortham's attempt to cast a psychological dimension to other authors? Richard Wright, he did a whole analysis of Richard Wright having mental problems, which motivated some of his characters in Native Son.
You know, I have read through some of those files in his papers. I can't speak very cogently about that, but I did get the sense that perhaps he sought to do Richard Wright a favor in terms of keeping him out of military service during World War II.
Interesting.
Not that Wright didn't have genuine issues, perhaps.
Crime comics, according to Wortham, were romances, westerns, science fiction, parodies, and jungle stories. Why?
Well, Wortham actually took a very Catholic or universal view of criminality in comics, so that any type of criminal or disrespectful action counted for him as a crime in comics. So superhero comics were suspect, even funny animal comics or Classics Illustrated. Hmm. If there was a criminal act portrayed, that made it a true crime comic in Wortham's view.
So it was as much the medium as the message here, the comics themselves, their availability, which was so sinister. Why did people pick up on this? Why was this guy who sounds wacky today so paid attention to?
I think there's a tradition in America of looking for an answer to our problems where you can push a magic button and say, look, this is what's causing it. Societies are complex. There's people who fail. And this was a simple answer for a moment that some people grabbed onto and essentially became a creative lynch mob.
Batman won, and so did the Avengers and all of them. But there's also a proliferation of comics completely outside the traditional genres, yes?
I think the thing that won is you look at the reputations over the years. Thanks to researchers like Carol, Wortham's reputation has been smashed. I think of my mentor, a man named Joe Orlando, who drew a story called Judgment Day that was a classic of science fiction that was censored by the code in the early days. And now, years after his death, he's regarded as one of the finest science fiction artists in American popular culture history. Society makes its long-term judgment.
Paul Levitz, former president and publisher of DC Comics. He represented the company on the board of the Comics Magazine Association of America and is author of The Golden Age of DC Comics. Carol Tilley, thanks for reminding us that Frederick Wortham would make a great evil doer in the comics himself. Carol Tilley is assistant professor at the University of Illinois' Graduate School of Library and Information Science. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
What's corrupting the American youth today? Pretty Boy Fahrenheit from Oklahoma wrote us, oversexed teen dramas. They might not be the most well-done shows, but I really doubt they're corrupting our youth. As if schools these days aren't oversexed or something, kids know what sex is. Pretending it doesn't exist isn't going to keep them virgins or teach them how to use condoms. Thanks for that advice, and we'd love to know your real name. Give us your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post to our site, thetakeaway.org. And now, on to saving the world. I'm John Hockenberry. It's The Takeaway.